Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
We are live, another amazing edition, Talking Sports with 12th Man Hump Day, Wednesday, October the 25th. The NBA season is upon us. Baseball is wrapping up. We got a lot of things to discuss. NFL, college, basketball. College basketball is on the corner, too. So we got a lot of things to jump into. So, you know, we're going to do that as always. But we are waiting for JQ to join us shortly. But as we are waiting, you know the drill. Going to do a quick check-in around the room and see how everybody is doing this evening. Going to kick it off. Rob Port, how you feeling, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Ready to get this party started. Feeling good. Started this for lunch and dinner today, man. So call me butter. I'm on a roll.
Gary, go ahead, man. I can't with him right now.
Hey, I had a wonderful eggplant parmesan tonight. It was fantastic.
Oh,
went out to dinner. Beautiful. Loving it down here. Weather's great. Just put my deposit on my swimming pool. It's going to be a few months before it's done, but got to get all the permitting and all that stuff. But yeah, getting things done.
You know when we're going to be coming.
There it is.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you guys in your Speedos.
Oh no! That's too far right there. We don't want to see none of that. Had a beautiful. That's kind of scary. It almost made me not want to eat my lunch here. My dinner had a beautiful kale salad for dinner, and then wrap it up with some nice mashed potatoes, green beans, and a nice little lean chicken on the barbie. You know, so it was kind of good, man. So it was good. Good night, man. So that's what we had tonight. So. So what we're doing, we're going to talk about foodie stuff here, so that's what we do, man. So, again, let's throw this the numbers out as always. Reach out to your boys. Call us at 424-243. Follow us on X at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And we are on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/talkingsports. The 12th man, you will find us in that arena as well. So, we're going to start off with, I know this is going to be me and JQ, but I guess we'll start it off, and I'm sure we can go around the room and talk about a couple things here. And talk about the Tennessee Titans, who are in full rebuild mode, if you will. They are going to be starting Will Levis against the Falcons, the number 33 overall pick. And it would have been interesting, ironically, if it would have been Malik Willis versus Desmond Ridder, but that is, alas, not the case. They have tried to they traded up to get Will Levis, and he is the guy. I'm expecting kind of a huge dose of Derrick Henry, if you will, in this particular game. They're going to try to protect Will Levis. Not really sure what to expect. I know the Falcons are 3-point favorites, which, you know, I don't know. That's kind of what they think about Will Levis. But interesting game for sure. We talked about the Titans, and I think, you know, Tannehill's play is probably his last game, obviously. As a tight guy, he's going to fill out his contract. And we're going to talk about buyers and sellers during the trade deadline, which is a week away. And, you know, maybe this is a showcase for Derrick Henry, right? This may be Derrick Henry's opportunity. We know the Titans traded Kevin Ballard to the Eagles. So, you know, this is an interesting situation. You know, they're 2-4. I got to look at the record. I think it's 2-4. I think the record. But, yeah, it's just an interesting situation for
2-4
for the Titans. Yeah, that's what I was looking at, too. And then, so it's just not a – like I said, full rebuild mode, this is a chance for Will Epps to prove if he is the guy. If he's not the guy, then obviously that'll allow the Titans to make that decision going into this coming up draft. You know, they may be in the Drake May, kind of Caleb Williams area, if they're kind of top five, if you will. But it's a good opportunity for the Titans to see what they have in the young quarterback. So I don't know if you want to take that, Gary, and talk about that. You know, I'll throw it to you, or you can throw it to Rob. You have some options for sure.
Well, it's going to have to be a lot of Derrick Henry with this young buck. You know, he's coming in, and, you know, he's a big kid, 6'4", 229, but with no experience, really, at this level, what are you going to do? You're going to run the ball, maybe pass, or run the ball and punt. But you got to protect the kid. But if they're throwing the season away, kind of looks like they're going to have a fire sale. And if they do,
yeah.
Well, kind of looks like they're going to, well, then they're not really worried too much about the win losses. They're just worried about evaluating, you know, some of these other players and situations. You don't want to be the quarterback in that type of a scenario, you know, where you don't have a game plan really around you. It's just kind of a, hey, let's quit on this season. Really, that's what it is. They're quitting on the season. They're going to evaluate talent. But I think it's too early to be doing this, but it is what it is. That's where they're at. They don't think they have a chance. So that, I think that's good news for, you know, their next several opponents, for sure.
There's no expectations, Gary, at this juncture. Like, hey, just, you know, you're
right.
Gonna do what you got to do.
Right.
I mean, so it could be good. You're like, yeah, you know, if you do good, cool. If you do bad, yeah, it's all good. So that could be another effect, too. So, you know, Rob, what are your thoughts on that, sir?
Yeah, you know, this all started with Ryan Tannehill's ankle injury. But also Ryan Tannehill wasn't playing that well either so far this season. So, I mean, there's still a chance that Tannehill, you know, comes back and plays this season as a starting quarterback. But obviously this is an opportunity for them. They spent the second-round pick on Will Levis this past season. They spent a third-round pick on Malik Willis last offseason in the draft as well. So that's two rounds where you expect guys to eventually be a starter, right? And so this is an opportunity. I believe both of them are going to play on Sunday by all indications. So, you know, we'll see how that, you know, how that goes for the Titans this upcoming game. But, you know, this draft this year is loaded with quarterbacks. There'll be several quarterbacks drafted in the first three rounds of this 2024 NFL draft. So I think what the Titans are doing here, they're seeing what they have in the building. And if they don't think they have that guy in the building, you know, this quarterback is one of those kind of things. And if you don't get it right, you got to keep trying to get it right, right?
There
so
it is.
Even
yep.
though they drafted
exactly.
two in the last two drafts, they don't feel like they have their guy. And if they don't have a really good season, they'll have a chance to get a quarterback in this draft. So, you know, I think that's what, this is just an opportunity for them to look at the two guys that they have in the building.
Well, the only thing I would add on to that is that the bar was not set really high with Tannehill anyway. So,
yeah.
And with that said, he was just barely average at best, in my opinion.
This year, yeah, this season, I think whenever they had Arthur Smith, he played a little bit better because I think he had a conducive offense, and it just seemed like that was interesting. I'm not like he was, you know, really lighted up, but at least Tennessee was at least kind of respectable because he had a strong running game too, so. And Derrick Henry was, you know, definitely not hurt. So, you know, there's been some regression. But Tannehill did kind of get a second life because, you know, at first we had no – whenever he's in Miami, that was a disaster, right? And, Rob, I like your point about it's quarterback draft and maybe some guys develop later, you know, again. So it's interesting to see how it plays out, too. It is loaded next year. And we'll talk about that in a little bit because we're going to talk about the Patriots and what's happening with that because they may be a team that later on in the league, but we're going to talk about them. Are they sellers at the trade deadline, and you know, absolutely they're sellers because, you know, same thing kind of with the Titans. You know, they're looking for probably draft picks at this juncture. There's some players that they have on the team that may be looking for that. I mean, I think Hunter Henry may be a target for the Cowboys. A couple things to look at, too, as far as just on the offense side. I know they're looking for defense. We'll talk about the Cowboys in a quick second. But, you know, the Patriots, a surprising win over the Bills. You talk about – I was going to do the intro about what a crazy weekend, right? You know, even for college, there's some, you know, a couple upsets for college and also for the NFL, like some things we didn't expect to happen and, you know, whatnot, too. But I think they're going to be selling at the deadline, too. What say you, Rob?
Yeah, I think it all depends on what happened in this game this Sunday, but I expect them to lose this Sunday. So you're on the road at Miami.
Gary's happy.
I don't think they're going to win two in a row. So after this loss on this Sunday, they'll be 2-6. So, you know, there could be some players that they get rid of for some additional draft capital going forward. I mean, and this is also another team that probably is going to want to have as much ammunition as possible in the event that they don't have the number one pick to be close to the number one pick in this offseason, right? So I could definitely see them being sellers. If they somehow miraculously win this game, I think Bill Belichick will be like, hey, let's see what we can do. We won two in a row. We beat the top two teams in the division, Buffalo and Miami. And let's see if we can possibly go on a run here and turn this thing around. So I think it all depends on this game, but I expect them to lose and be sellers.
JQ, you want to touch on this?
Are we talking about Bill Belichick and me and Myers and sellers at the trade deadline?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't think Bill Belichick, the GM, is ever going to sell on Bill Belichick, the coach.
The coach?
So that's why I start laughing. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen. I think he feels like he can always turn it around. And if he wins this game, it's only going to further embolden him to do the – they need separation of the church and state in New England. So I hear what you're saying, and I think if – anybody else that doesn't have the cachet that Bill Belichick has, it might be a – I can agree with that, but I just don't see him selling on himself. I thought Bill Belichick's like, yeah, I got it now. I got my contract extension. Man, we can win. I don't care if we win or lose this game or not. We can turn it around. So, I don't know. I don't see them selling.
Well, they don't have a lot to sell on that roster in the first place.
Yeah, but
they got like Kyle Duggars and somebody else too. Yeah, good.
They've got enough. You're not going to get any high rounds, but they can add picks absolutely with their, you know, they've got several offensive linemen that are in their last contract, things like that that they can get rid of.
Look at that too.
I know the Cowboys are looking at a couple of them.
Bill Belichick, the GM, has to admit that he was wrong about dudes. He's selling on them because he doesn't feel like they're either worth resigning or I can't turn this around because Bill Belichick, the GM, is still Bill Belichick's coach. And that sounds like I just don't see him doing that. He just seems too prideful. Like, he'll just go down with the Titanic. Like, I can turn it around. No, you can't. If I can. And I just don't see him doing that. That's just my own philosophy on Bill. I'm sorry.
Well, the only thing I would say on that is this, is Bill Belichick, when it comes to the, you know, the skill positions, he's not really a very good, he's not really very good in the draft with that. So
no.
I would hesitate giving him the reins on who they pick if they were to just have a fire sale. And he was, which I don't think he's going to admit it, like you said, JQ, but if he did, and they did get this boatload of draft picks, I wouldn't want to give him those draft picks. I would say, let's have somebody else select these, because you haven't done a damn thing with these skilled positions in a long time.
A long time. I agree.
Yeah, they keep signing these retreads at wide receiver, too.
Man, you talk about people that's been talking about it. His only two Pro Bowls, I think, was a punter and a special teams ace, like, Bill Belichick, the coach, is a lot different than Bill Belichick, the GM. But you give him that extension, and you don't – well, I don't know the all the details of the contract. But you know, and say, hey, man, listen, we had a good run, but I love you as a coach, but you can't be the GM. If you don't do that, then you're still in the same spot. To Darius' point of he's still picking these dudes that he struggled with, and now you he does that, and he has all these picks, and then you get mad at him, and you fire him. But he's had all these shitty picks. Now the next coach you bring in has to deal with those shitty picks. That's tough. So I would love to see the details of this extension when it works out to it. Does he give up any of the GM duties? Because if he's a GM, it's the same shit. So good luck.
It's going to be interesting. We talked about his coaching staff, some challenges with that. You know, we talked about what happened with the help Matt Patricia and the whole thing. And the way things are going, he may end up getting Josh McDaniels back if he wants to have him back as an offensive coordinator. So, again, we'll see if you want to go back on that road. But, yeah, let's keep this going. We talk about where we think they're going to be sellers and, you know, maybe JQ, maybe not so as much. Gary, talk about your Cowboys here. Will there be buyers? And the word on the street is that they're going to be buying, looks like they're going to be buying defense. It looks like I've been hearing some rumors that, again, I mentioned it earlier, they were kind of targeting, you know, a tight end. And I did mention Hunter Henry. We talked about that as the interesting thing with the Patriots. Obviously, with Trayvon Diggs, you know, they haven't been able to make a good situation with that. So they may be trying to find defense, if you will, too. So what say you about the Cowboys?
Well, first of all, the help that they need help for Tony Pollard. He's not the bell cow. That can help. Take that pounding.
Absolutely not.
He just hasn't
Derrick Henry,
to beat that guy.
Stop it.
Okay. Gallup is still just he's just not that guy anymore. He just isn't. Even as a third receiver, he's just not that great. Offensive line help, defensive tackle help. Mozzie Smith, you know, he hasn't worked out at as a first round pick that they had. So, you know, they're thin. They're thin at linebacker. They're thin at running back. The rumors are, you know, of course, Derrick Henry, and you mentioned Hunter Henry. They're twin brothers. You guys know that, right?
absolutely.
Okay.
The Henry brothers.
Wide receiver from the Giants, Campbell. Offensive guard from Minnesota, Cleveland. Offensive tackle from New England, Trent Brown. Then linebacker from Denver, Joey Jewell. Linebacker Frankie Louvu from the Panthers. Jordan Hicks from Minnesota. Cornerback Jalen Johnson from Chicago. These are all that have been in the Cowboy rumor mills. Who they pick up, what they pick up, we'll see.
Well, we know Jerry Jones is going to be aggressive, and you know, so I definitely expect the Cowboys to be buyers here before the trading deadline. Trading deadline is next Tuesday, by the way, for our listeners. Halloween is the trading deadline day on Tuesday, I believe, by 4 p.m. So, yeah, I definitely expect Jerry Jones to try to be aggressive and try to see if they can fill a need or two here in this offseason. I mean, I'm sorry, by this trade deadline here. So we'll have to wait and see, you know, what that looks like, you know, for the Cowboys here. I think Gary spilled out all he needs. There's no need for me to go over all that. But I definitely think that Jerry Jones is definitely going to be an aggressive owner here going into this trading deadline.
So is it my turn? So was I the only person that heard Jerry Jones get on his radio show and say – that I'm pretty much okay with my roster and we will not be the people to initiate calls, and if people want to call us about trades, that's okay, but I'm not going to put the feelers out? Like, he said that, right?
You believe that?
I heard that. I heard that as well.
I mean, but he said it out loud, and nobody even brought it up, but he said that. That's why I was like, well, wait, he actually got on TV, on radio, and said that. He might be sitting in the smoke screen, but we have to address that, right? Like, he, and I told you before, in the, Jerry Jones feels like he and Stephen are the best drafters of all time. And they always believe in the people that we draft are better than anybody else that you draft. And then he got on TV, on radio, and said, hey, I'm not sending out no feelers, but if people want to call us about some things, I might listen to them. So y'all talking about him being so aggressive, like, he just told you he wasn't going to be aggressive, and maybe he's just trying to, you know, look left and go right.
You never believe any of these owners or general managers. You never believe it.
No, I mean, I got that, but we still have to address it like he said it out loud. So we have to at least talk about that he said it out loud. So, but...
And you got to put...
Well, there have been times
between
the Cowboys fans.
I think you got to read between the lines here, too. Jerry Jones doesn't want to make it seem... I mean, he's saying he's okay with his roster, right? So he wants to make his players feel like, hey, you know, we don't have anybody on the trading block, right? You know, so if anything happens, it's going to be because somebody's going to call us, right? And I think he's just sending a message to his team, hey, we're not shopping anybody. And maybe they're not shopping anybody, right? You know, maybe they'll be willing to give up draft picks for a player or something like that. But I think it's just one of those things, hey, you know, we want to let our team know that, hey, nobody's on the trade market. You know, we want everybody focused going into this next week's game and a week after that as well, right? And so I think it's just one of those things that you have to say as an owner or a GM.
No, no, you don't, because he ain't the GM. You just watched Kevin Mayar go for a third and a fifth round pick to the Eagles. You don't think the Cowboys could have used him and move some pieces around? It could be a jack of all trades kind of defense. A third and a fifth for a dude that's been a pro bowler? Like, that sounds to me that Philadelphia is actively going out and testing the trade market, and Dallas is not. So when I see that happen, and I hear Jerry Jones say that, I get more credence to the fact that he's not really doing it, because that's not a whole lot to give up for that dude that's been a pro bowler for Tennessee that's struggling for the Chiefs. I don't know, man. Sometimes when somebody says something to you, you got to believe who they are. I really believe that Dallas roster as it is, and he's not actively going out to get it, where Philadelphia is actively trying to upgrade their roster. And I'm like, a third and a fifth? For that dude,
a
safety?
Okay. Well, when I've seen it, I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen with the Cowboys and following their team, you know, many, many years in the Tony Romo years. I would make lists of my wish list of players I wish that they would go get, that they could have got for reasonable prices, and then they fell to other teams. And the Cowboys sit on their hands and didn't make those types of moves and then ended up costing them at the end of the season. If Jerry Jones does not remember those years, they weren't that long ago. You should remember those years. And if you've got the two best teams in the NFC making moves, you better make some moves too. Because you're not there yet, and the 49ers showed you, and you need to keep pace with that. It's an arms race. That's what it is, and you've got to make those moves and make your team better. Hopefully,
they do that.
But I'm not sure, and that's why I didn't say whether they were buyers or sellers, because, you know, I heard that too, and I don't know.
Yeah. That was the only point, though. Him saying that and then watching Philadelphia do that, I'm like, hey, man, okay. If you don't want to cut your face, but it's like, don't do that when you're watching not only your conference rival do it, your divisional rival do it. A third and a fifth for Kevin Byard, safety, that's a steal. Yeah, you can have that fifth round, third tackle that we might take that might pan out. I'm going to get a Pro Bowl safety. Good luck with that. Jerry Jones.
Do it. All right, let's keep this moving here. Anything else to add to that, Rob?
Nope, I don't have anything else to add.
Let's talk about the top five NFL teams and for the weekend. We talked about this, Jakey, before you came on. We talked about what an interesting week. Wow. All right.
Wow.
I'll talk about top five here. Even college. So, number one, I've got the Eagles. They are currently 6-1. So after that beating of the Dolphins, which we thought was going to be an interesting matchup, they handled the Dolphins pretty handily. So I got them at the number one spot. Number two, you know, obviously it may be a little different for you guys. I got the Ravens number two because they pretty much handled the Lions. We thought the Lions were there. They were not there, clearly, and the Ravens just, again, just opened up the can on them. I got the Chiefs number three, 6-1. They're quietly, you know, just winning, if you will, you know, doing their thing. You could talk about who they play, but like I said, again, I got them, you know, whipping up on the Chargers. We're officially on Brandon Staley watch again. Question that. Number four and five are tough, right? Because only because of, you know, attrition. Obviously, I put the Dolphins at number four just because, you know, again, you know, they did go up against a pretty tough Eagles team. They're 5-2, and still surprising. I got the 49ers at fifth because, again, even though that was a tough game. Versus the Vikings, no one saw that coming. But you know, it's Brock Purdy. You know, I know he's going to be in the concussion protocol. We'll see how that happens. If that happens, they may drop. But that's what I still think right now they got problems. You know, and
he's going to be out this week.
Good. So
no,
but I'm just saying it's a tough call. I mean, it's just like you're looking at like the landscape and teams. I mean, Bills got beat by the Patriots. I mean, that was crazy. And again, you can put the Lions in there too, but it's just, you know, they're not quite there yet too, you know. So I'm just wondering if Rob's gonna put them in there. So I'm kind of curious, but that's what I've got for my five right now. Obviously,
we talk about this every week, man. In NFL, you have to come to play every single week, man. You saw 4-1-5 teams win this past week, and so I mean, you cannot take anybody lightly. I mean, there's no armies on the schedule, right? There's no Stephen F. Austin's on the schedule. There's no Andre Peterson's on the schedule, right? So you have to come and play every single weekend in the NFL, right? And yeah, so you know you're gonna.
The
have
Andre Peterson kind of school would be hard, man. They're gonna be hardcore, man. I'm saying they're gonna be ready.
Whoa!
Paintball.
Wait!
Doesn't matter.
Wait! I just got on the Zoom. Y'all got Rob out here with his tank top on without no sleeves on? That's what we doing? And I can't go put no undershirt on. We just gonna put that jazz. Let's go, Rob. I see you said. What? I see.
Look at those guns.
Oh, my goodness. Wait. How is that not a bigger part of the show? He ain't here flexing on us.
We were waiting for you, Jake, to say something because, you know, he already talked about how he had asparagus twice in the day, so we figured you let him. We kind of, like, get a kick out of that, too, man. So, you know, plus we had
shorts. Yeah, I need my 20. We don't wear undershirts no more. When we put our basketball jerseys on, we just out here flexing. Like, I'm
at home, man.
We doing I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail it. Go ahead. I just messed it up.
So my top five, I agree with Dre with number one. I got the Eagles at the number one spot. Obviously, pretty impressive win this past Sunday night. And, you know, obviously when you look at the Eagles defense, Sean Desai, his first year's defense coordinator, has done a phenomenal job. When you look at that defensive line they have, I mean, hey, man, Jalen Carter, and, I mean, he's a beast already. As a rookie, and now as JQ mentioned earlier, they trade for Kevin Byard, so we have to see how well he gels, you know, coming over in the middle of the season. But I mean, defensively, they're playing lights out. And really, if you look at that game, the Dolphins only scored 10 points against that defense because 7 of those points was from a INT return for a touchdown. So they really put that, you know, supposedly number one offense in the league in check. So very impressive performance by the Eagles in that defense. So I have them at number one. I got the other 6-1 team at number two. I got the Chiefs. And you know what's interesting about this Chiefs team this year is really their defense. I mean, you really look at these games, their defense is playing phenomenal football. Trent McDuffie might be the best corner in the game so far this year. I think second-year guy at Washington. He's been outstanding at the cornerback position. And then when you look at Chris Jones, what he's doing, a defensive tackle as well, So, I mean, obviously they're going to still score points, but defensively this Chiefs team is a lot better than what we've seen the last few years. So it's going to be interesting for them. Really impressed with the Ravens this past week. I think that was the Ravens team that we were waiting to see. That was the Lamar Jackson that we were waiting to see. Roquan Smith is playing outstanding at the linebacker position. Marcus Williams at the safety position. I mean, they're playing lights out right now. Well, definitely lights out this past weekend. That was, like I said, what we were waiting to see. Even their receivers stepped up. So they were leading the league in drops, you know, coming into this past week too. So Zay Flowers seemed like he's taking his game to the next level, the rookie out of Boston College. Number four, I got Jacksonville in there. They won four in a row. Trevor Lawrence, Trevor Etienne is quietly probably one of the top two or three running backs in the league so far this year, up there behind Christian McCaffrey. And so Travis Etienne, is having an outstanding. And Christian Kirk obviously having a good year, and their defense has improved too. They won four in a row. They beat some good teams too. They beat Buffalo in London, and some of these games they've won pretty impressively too. So I got Jacksonville number four, and I still got the 49ers in there at five, even though they've lost two in a row. So I still got them in the mix at number five. Hey, we'll have to see what happens with Sam Darnold possibly starting this weekend if they stay in that top five.
True.
Stop it. I was with you until four and five. Same argument. If San Francisco and Jacksonville are at even strength, who you put your money on?
Hey, I'm going by the resume.
Stop it. Stop it. I'm with you all the way to four and five. I will give you Jacksonville five.
Jacksonville almost upset the Chiefs in the playoffs, man.
Stop it. You would not bet on Jacksonville to beat San Francisco. You wouldn't on no days. Not with your money, your Delta money, not with Gary's Delta money, not with y'all combined Delta money, would you bet on Jacksonville to beat San Francisco? And we had the same conversation last week, and Detroit got the break speed off of by Baltimore. I'm with you. I was with you 1-3. As much as I wanted to not be with you 1-3 because of Baltimore, I was with you. But once you put
San Francisco just lost to Cleveland and Cleveland and Minnesota. You think Jacksonville better than Cleveland and Minnesota?
Is San Francisco healthy? They lost to Cleveland. They lost the best offensive tackle. People who said that Trent Williams not
Cleveland
only the
didn't
best
even have their starting quarterback.
Stop it. San Francisco didn't have the best offensive tackle that people said going to the Pro Bowl.
Williams, 35 years old.
They lost Samuel. They lost McCaffrey also in that game against San Francisco.
Every team
got
injuries. I don't want to hear that foolishness.
You're losing a Pro Bowler. You're not losing a bomb. You're not losing me and Andre Pierce playing left and right tackle. You're losing a Hall of Famer. And now you got
Minnesota didn't even have the best receiver, Justin Jefferson. Every team got injuries. I don't want to hear that.
Would you
take
that jersey
as an excuse?
Okay. Let's not use injuries. Let's not use injuries. Would you take your Utah Jazz hat and your jersey off and bet it for Jacksonville to beat San Francisco 2 weeks from now? If they had to play 2 weeks from now on the moon and New Orleans, and you stop that shit. No, you would not. You would not take Jacksonville over San Francisco. Stop it. San Francisco number four.
2 weeks ago
five.
When San Fran played Cleveland, who you were going to bet on?
I didn't know he was going to lose all three of them in the same game. They lost McCaffrey, Debo, and Trent Williams in the same game.
That wasn't the question.
They had Gary Schaefer at quarterback.
Of course, we all take San Francisco in that game. In that game, bar no injury, we take San Francisco. Okay.
That's true.
Gary and Andre. Yeah. And you had to bet your hard on. I don't care. I'm not talking about big money.
I'm not taking Jacksonville.
$5, $10, $15.
No.
Taking Jacksonville over San Francisco?
Nope.
Are
you?
I'm not. Cleveland had Gary Schaefer at quarterback. They had Marcy, Gina, and Erica at wide receiver.
If they play next week, if they play next week with Sam Darnold versus PJ, would you still take Cleveland? We're talking about San Francisco and Cleveland. PJ versus Sam Darnold. Stop it!
I tell you what. I don't know who I will pick, to be honest with you. It depends on the circumstances, where they're playing.
It depends
on who the circumstances is. But right now, based on the resume, I see a Jacksonville team that's won 4 in a row, and they beat some good teams. And I see a 49ers team that has lost 2 in a row to the Browns and the Vikings. Now, the Browns got to win a record. So, I mean, it's not a slouch, 4-2, right?
Okay.
But you lose to Minnesota, too. Hey.
Hey, Kirk
all
Cousins,
I do is go by
Kirk
what
Cousins
I see with
played one hell of a game.
Because
they got one. Thing.
And he didn't have Justin Jefferson.
Okay. I don't want to derail the show. He knows he was not putting none of that Delta money on Jacksonville over San Francisco if they played next week as the teams are constructed. Hey! He know he wouldn't.
I'm not a gambling man.
This guy didn't
win.
This guy didn't win 5 different things. No, top 5. So what's your top 5, JQ?
I was with him on the top 3 is what I said. I interchanged San Francisco and Jacksonville because he knows good damn well he wouldn't put money.
You got
San Fran
4 and Jacksonville 5, right?
Correct.
Hey, that's close enough. I mean, we only won all.
You said that's close enough. You said that's close enough. Gary, what you got, Gary?
I still have Kansas City in the top spot because if they played tomorrow, they'd beat Philadelphia tomorrow.
Okay.
Ooh. I got Philadelphia in the second spot. I got the Ravens in the third spot. I've got the San Francisco in the fourth spot. Got the Jags in the fifth spot.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you. I'm with Detroit being number one in the NFC, and they get their doors blown off. Come on.
Y'all had San Francisco number one, and they lost too.
They lost by 3 points. That was an interesting game, though, Rob. I mean, again, we get that.
They lost to the Vikings. Vikings dominated that game from beginning to end.
You said last week, not this week. I got them in the number fifth and fourth spot. You know, we were set at number one.
I admit I had Detroit number one last week, but y'all all had San Fran number one last week, and they lost too.
Not me. Not me.
Oh yeah, Gary didn't.
No way.
They didn't.
Gary at Kansas City.
Yeah, but,
I give Gary credit.
38-7 in the one spot.
Y'all got a team with a 2-game losing streak over a team that's won 4 in a row with the same record.
Oh my god! I can't wait. Okay.
These were all 5-1 teams last week whenever we had them in there, too. So, again, that was like we were talking about, too, that, we're like, hey, this looks like a complete team. Was it an anomaly? And we talked about, hey, Cleveland played a good game. That was good defense. They lost by a field goal. Hey, you know, we still gave them some benefit of that, too.
Why
but, yeah, that's
Gary
everyone.
Bob tell us that the Delta stock tripled. Because something happened. Because Rob is out there with his guns out. Something happened fantastic for Delta this season. I wish he's going to show up like this.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just sitting last week. We're talking about, you know, how we had that, you know, how we had, because I think, you know, everyone had different things. They're all 5-1, you know, from the 49ers, Dolphins, Eagles, Lions, Chiefs. We still had them in there. Now we're like, yeah, it's a week.
I mean,
thing.
Well, we had
three of those 5-1 teams lost.
Top 5.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. And so now we're like, but one of the two 5-1 teams played each other. So then it's like, there's got to be a,
yep.
You know, that's going to be a camp to switch it out, you know, so, but.
That's why I put Philly number one. They beat another 5-1 team. They beat them impressively. And if it wasn't for that turnover, they really held them to 10 points offensively. So that's why I put Philadelphia number one.
And the reason why you can't put Baltimore there is because they were 4-2, but they had the best win of the week. They took it.
They had the best win.
That was a whoop.
That's why I put it number two. That's why I put the number two because I was like, man, we thought the Lions were there, and they're like, man, the Lions, we're not quite there yet, obviously. So
I watched it.
That was
a whoop.
And then I'm like, the Chiefs, like, hey, they're quietly under the radar. And like you said, Gary put them in one, but I'm like, hey, right now I see it. Like you said, Rob, defense is great. Mahomes is not, you know, he doesn't have to be Superman every single week. The defense is actually playing well. So this is, you know, you're looking at this like, okay, Kansas City,
you better watch out. They're quietly winning. They're 6-1 too. So you know, we'll see how that plays out once they play.
And they have a better balance. Yeah, it's wow.
Yep, and then you look at the Dolphins, and you know, I just dropped them because, like, hey, you played the best team so far. It looks like, you know, Eagles, and, you know, was it an aberration? You know, was it, you know, whatever? Good game plan. It's all about matches sometimes. And then I left the 49ers because, again, it was like, shit, like, you know, every now and then Kirk Cousins, the one time he shows up on a Monday night, he showed up.
So a power.
Like Justin Jefferson. You're like, what the hell just happened? So if you would have put money, like, are you thinking, is Kirk Cousins going to show up? You didn't expect that. You know what I'm saying? And he did. So – Kevin was flowers.
The person who put money on it lost. Yeah.
Just don't know, right? And then
but
obviously,
you look at that game. The Vikings still settled for way too many field goals in that game. I mean, they still managed to win the game. Got to give some credit to the defense. I thought Brian Flores did a heck of a job coaching in that game against the 49ers. So, I thought he did a phenomenal job because the Vikings still settled for too many field goals on offense.
And don't have Debo out there. Like, it's a great way to game plan. We don't have the best attack one. It's fantastic.
They got enough weapons to win without Debo. They got Brandon Ayuk, who's arguably their best receiver now. They got Christian McCaffrey. They got Eli Mitchell. They got George Kittle, arguably one of the best offensive lines in the league, an accurate quarterback. They had enough in that game to win. There's no question.
You have
about
a quarterback that we didn't even know was concussed. You talk about a left tackle who people of all say are going to the Hall of Fame. You said Brandon Ayuk. Would you take Brandon Ayuk on your fantasy team over Debo Samuel?
Going into the season, no. But so far this year, Brandon Ayuk is having as good a season as anybody at the wide receiver position.
Okay. You answered my question. When you had the draft, we're going to take his ass.
I agree with that, but I'm saying right now, Ayuk is playing as good as anybody in the league.
Mm-hmm. You guys talked about Minnesota kicking, you know, way too many field goals and this sort of thing, and the Niners didn't really get to him, but they put a hell of a lot of pressure, and he got knocked down a whole shitload. He threw that ball with those guys in his grill several times and made really clutch throws that I was really pleasantly surprised that he made.
You know what? Alvin Harper got a brand new fantastic contract playing opposite of fucking goddamn Michael Irvin. How did that work out in Tampa Bay? Yeah, you can catch some balls because you got fucking Debo and McCaffrey in the backfield and Kittle tied in. He's the one getting single coverage. I give him credit for winning here and there, but that's the reason why Ayuk is having it, because those other dudes are studs and he's just been the single coverage. So let's be honest about you, you're all over
the 49ers, JQ, so I think they're going to beat the Bengals this weekend, right?
Hell no. Let's go Cincinnati.
Y'all see that? Did y'all hear what I'm saying?
My son ain't gonna play.
I thought that that's really what you were leading up to. I really did.
No, but Brock Purdy's the concussion protocol. They say he's not gonna play.
Yeah,
is that not a big deal? Is that not a big deal?
It's definitely a big deal.
If Brock Purdy don't play. Now, if Sam Darnold beats Cincinnati, now I got to come out here with you raggedy motherfuckers next week and talk about how Sam Darnold.
Every team has injuries, man. They give the number one seed to the team with the best record, not with the team who's got the most injuries.
There are levels of injury. Brock Purdy was playing good ball. In theory, Cincinnati should beat the hell out of Sam Darnold. In theory. But theory doesn't always work out. I'm still going to pick the Bengals, though. I've seen them put it on the topic, so. I'm sorry, I derailed you, Andre. I'm sorry. I'm going to be quiet.
It's totally fine. I love the energy and the passion. Like, it's funny because I was going to talk about this in another situation because, you know, everyone's favorite person is a backup quarterback, right? And we had a lot of backup quarterbacks, right, that happened. Like, if you look at what happened.
Sam Darnold.
Right, but what I'm saying is if you look at what happened with the Bears and you talk about the bone fight between the Bears and the Raiders, Brian Hoyer and Tyson Bagent, right? This dude he said all the right things after the, I'm like, Justin Fields, you may be in trouble. He's like, hey, I'm so thankful for the offensive coordinator and his family. I'm like, what the hell?
Bro,
like, whoa.
I was watching the red zone. That dude won the Heisman equivalent in Division II where, at Shepherd University. So he's just not a bum. He won the highest award that Division II can offer.
Good. He just looks the part. He just looks like the part, doesn't he? I'm like, Justin Fields.
I got to see another game.
I know.
You got more
things it's like Cooper Rush. They on the bandwagon. Like, man, this dude is the guy, man. You're like, it's only been one game, but he looked the part, man.
Well, Cooper Rush is still winning games. That's what I was like. He wasn't a bum. He was somebody that won the Heisman level equivalent award at Division II. Like, at some point, you got to say pause. Well, damn. He just won somebody that just was out there doing something. He won the highest award that he could win at his level.
Yeah, I read that. He's not a bum.
But I
got
to see some more, though. I got to see another game or two of him playing at that level to see if he's legitimate or not, right? So, you got some game tape on him. We'll see what, you know.
Their own stuff. Yeah. Damn. He played good, man. He looked good. I mean, I get it. Someone said, run the ball. He didn't F it up, you know. He made the right passes. You're like, not like,
he's very active.
Hell, Jim Harbaugh, the same thing, right?
Was it like 21 out of 25, I believe?
Yep. So, is it a quarterback controversy?
I don't know.
The crowd going for him? I said, uh-oh, Justin. You might be in trouble. He went out scrambling to the crowd. And if I find him, I said,
problem. I'll take Justin Fields, though. I'll take him. You know, I'm like, yo, I will run. Like, yo, I will make a call. Hey, come. You'll be loved here, bro. I'm just saying, if you want to get rid of him, I will take him hands down because Desmond Ridder is not the answer. I don't care what you're trying to tell me. One other conversation. Anyway, I digress. Guys, we literally have, like, 13 minutes left. We only got through four topics, man. We got ultimately derailed over here, but that's okay.
We debated on that top five forever, huh?
Yeah. Is there something you want to talk about? Please do that.
Big Q's love affair with the 49ers.
Your love affair with the Jaguars.
Until you realize you're playing the Bengals, huh?
Goodness gracious. Unless we have a really condensed OD portion. Gary, anything you want to talk about my guy? Pick a topic because it's going to be really fast
well,
about this show.
You know, you had a topic on Oklahoma, and you know, on their schedule they've got Kansas, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, BYU, and TCU.
They should be
undefeated. I mean, they're going to win. They're going to win those games. So,
if I'll have a rematch with Texas, possibly.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Yeah,
I agree. Those are five wins. Those should be five wins. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, hey, Central Florida gave them all they can handle this past weekend. I mean, Gus Malzahn was supposed to heck the game. But, you know, on paper, it looks like Oklahoma should win those games, no doubt. Can they beat Texas twice if they're playing against Texas? That's going to be tough.
All right.
Except Texas has lost to Houston this weekend.
I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you, Justin Flo. It's your world. I'm just living in it.
Wait, what are we doing?
You. It's your turn, Justin Flo. Come on.
Pick a topic. Show us the guns and pick a topic.
That's hilarious.
Stand up.
Well, for me, I would say let's go over the predictions, NFL and college.
Okay.
Maybe we can hit those. So, for me, we look at the Bucks at the Bills. Both teams coming off of a loss. I'm going to pick the Bills. Short week at home. I think they bounce back and respond. I don't think Tampa will be able to score enough points in this game, so I like Buffalo. Jaguars and Steelers should be an interesting football game. And I'm going to go with the Steelers by a field goal in this one. I'm going to go
20-20. That's surprising.
Steelers.
Wait! How do you pick them as the fourth best team if they're picking the Bengals as the Steelers? How?
Hey,
how?
Aren't you picking the Bengals over the Niners? What's the difference?
Sam Darnold is what he's talking about.
That's also true.
Hey, the Steelers are at home, and they're playing really good defense. So I think they're going to squeak it out by a field goal. Browns and Seahawks, you know, the Browns not going to win this one on the road against the Seahawks. The Seahawks are going to win. They're not going to be like the 49ers. The Seahawks are going to win this game. I think it will be another close football game, 24-20. I'm going to go Seattle in that game. My college prediction, Georgia at Florida.
Hold on. You know what's awful about that? And I agree with all three of those things.
I'll give the Browns more of a chance than that, though.
I give the Browns a chance.
I think that's a pick on the game.
Hey, I said a close game. Browns 24-20. I'm going to go Seahawks. Still, the Browns have been getting by the quarterback position the last 2 weeks. You know, I think they fall short this coming week on the road in Seattle. Seattle got a lot of weapons, man.
And, all right, let's hear your college pick.
You know, Georgia and Florida. I'm going to go Georgia, but I think this game will be close than most people expect. So I think Florida will be very competitive in this game. I'm going to go 27-24 Georgia by a field goal in this one. Oregon at Utah. Both these teams coming off big wins. Utah went on the road to beat USC. But I'm going to go Oregon here. Oregon on the road. Oregon, in my opinion, should have beat Washington on the road. You know, I think they learned from that, and they go on the road and beat Utah. I know we said this last week that Utah won't be able to outscore USC, but they did, because USC's defense is trash. But I don't think they'll be able to do that against Oregon. So
trash,
I like Oregon.
Yeah, they like garbage trash. Dumpster fire.
I like Oregon by 10 points in this game, too. I like Oregon by 30-20 on the road here.
Wow, I don't. I don't at all. I mean, I think this game here, this is the one game on the schedule that really scares me. Out of all the teams in their whole schedule, Utah has just had their number, 3 or 4 point win for Oregon. I'm hoping.
Great.
I'm hoping.
I agree with the right. I agree with the team. I don't agree with the point. I say 4.
Duke at Louisville. I like Louisville in this game. Plummer has been really good at the quarterback position for Louisville. Riley Leonard is banged up here. Louisville is playing solid defense here, too. I like Louisville by at least 7 to 10 points at home in this game.
I like them by 8.
Same ballpark.
That means that we're going to lose all of these, because I have agreed with all that shit. That is not good. I'm just saying, it's not good. So I just in the room. The Lakers sucked last night, and Anthony Davis sucked last night, especially in the second half. But at the same time, I didn't watch any of that shit. I watched Philadelphia lose me from my other part of my World Series prediction. So now we have a Desert Southwest Conference kind of World Series with Arizona and Texas that ain't nobody going to watch except for Dre and his homeboys. I'm going to watch it because I love baseball. But – man, could you imagine if we had a repeat of Philadelphia and Houston? The ratings that baseball would have gotten, they have to be somewhere really kicking themselves. I would like to see a new champ crown. So I'm good with that piece of it. But ratings wise, the Rangers and the Diamondbacks is not gonna be good for baseball.
Yeah, outside of Arizona and Texas, like I text y'all today, it'll be all the three people watching that game. Now the good thing is Texas is a big state, so there's a lot of people maybe watching the state of Texas.
Yeah,
and the Phillies. I mean, their bats just got cold here in those last couple of games.
Super
I mean,
cold.
Three of the big stars were 0-12 last night, and their bats just really got cold when they were just slugging the baseball in his last two series and even early in this series. And, you know, Major League Baseball playoffs is now road field advantage.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
But Diamondback flag is so defensive. Ooh. First game back for Arizona. That first dude, he went for all the shin guards off. He getting hit immediately. When he played that flag, I said, whoever's leading out for them, he in trouble. Yeah, and they have to re-examine how they do it.
That reminded you of Baker Mayfield, didn't it, JQ?
It did. I was like, oh, my goodness. I was so mad for him. But they got to revisit how they do the format, because when you have all these 100-win teams, number one seed teams all go down, what you have happening is not necessarily good for – those lower seeds have been playing playoff baseball for 2, 3, 4 weeks going into the playoffs trying to get a seed. And those other teams have been playing for the 1-2 season. They go rest, and those other dudes have been playing to keep their seasons alive.
Yeah.
And you've seen the proof in the pudding with the wild cards coming up big. And I agree with you. Schwarber and Harper and Castellanos just cooled all the way out. They destroyed and destroyed Atlanta.
Yeah.
And those first couple games against Arizona, I mean, they went cold, like rigid cold. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So I
when you look at
that's
that
–
Yeah. When you look at that Houston-Texas series, the road team won every single game. And that's why I said it's every single game. It's a road field advantage playoffs. You look at a lot of road teams won in these playoff games in these playoff series.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, JQ. I know it's only 2 years in this format, but they have to revisit it. Either you add a couple of teams and the 1 and 2 seeds play immediately just to get them going, or either shrink it.
First seven games.
Yeah, so you got to figure out something, right? And you think it helps the pitching, but it seems it did not help the pitching either, right? You know your bat's going to get cold for sitting a week, but you think it helped the pitching, but it didn't even help the pitching, right? And so, something has to change with that format.
Agree. Y'all was about to make the wild card.
Not necessarily for baseball.
NBA, who's going to be able to stop Denver? What's going to be able to stop Denver in the West?
You know what's interesting? There are some teams that are more talented than Denver, but I don't know if there's anybody that has the chemistry that Denver has, and that's what's going to be interesting. Celtics do have Tatum and Brown has been together for a while. I mean, they are adding Porzingis and Holiday to the mix. Are they able to get that chemistry? Phoenix got a new group together. Are they able to get that chemistry? Milwaukee, can Dame and Giannis get that chemistry? And it's a big question mark, right? Giannis is used to having the ball in his hands, but now he's going to have to play off the ball a lot more with Dame there, right? And Giannis is now going to have to be that number one defender where he had Holiday as that number one defender, right? So it's different style. There's some huge adjustments. Now they got a long season to adjust and, try to make that work. But Denver already have their cohesive unit together. And if they get anything, if Michael Porter Jr. improves this game, I mean, that's just going to take that team to another level as well. So it's tough. It's tough. I mean, when you look at, to me, those are the four teams that are the best teams, but Denver has the cohesive unit and the chemistry already. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
I'm loving the implosion. Hold on quick, Rob. I'm loving the implosion of the 76ers, by the way, too. That's just crazy to see that watching right before our eyes, too, right? To see them implode, that's nuts. Harden, Embiid, what's going on with that? Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with 12 Man. We're going to be back at you on next Wednesday night. That's going to be 11 p.m. Central Time. That's 11 p.m. Central in Buffalo or Miami, AFC East. We want to hear from y'all in the Central Time Zone from Chicago down to Little Rock down to New Orleans. It's going to be 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. The real Jack in Mississippi, too, is in the Central Time Zone, 10 p.m. How y'all doing in Jackson State without Dion? In the Mountain Time Zone, 9 p.m. 9 p.m. in Denver and Salt Lake, and out west, Los Angeles, the 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time next week. Good night, people.
Hey, y'all.
JQ, you kind of looking like Baron Davis Quinn on camera.
Hey, don't y'all go out there wild on Halloween this weekend. I know y'all going to get it going in advance of it. Y'all be safe. Okay, the rest of it, don't be like Chris Olave out there doing 70 and 35 and say, I play for the Saints. Yeah, don't do that, bro. Love y'all.
Oh, man. Not Chris Olave.
Oh, Chris Olave. You got to grow
up. Real quick, though, I think what's going to stop a team like Denver is themselves with injuries and things like that. You know, they had a really good run where, you know, their primary guys were healthy at the right time, and that's typically what creates the fall of a team like that is injuries themselves. Chemistry's there, but if you're bringing in backups and expect the same thing out of them, you're not going to. So that's probably what I'm looking forward to. They are the team to beat, though, if any champion. They look good.
I think another thing we got to watch for is the new NBA rules this year, too, as far as resting players, right? You know, Denver at the end of the year last year, they rested Jokic and a lot of their key players, and they were able to be fresh. The Sixers did not do that with Embiid, and you see that it hurt the Sixers, right? So these new rules, how are these teams going to adjust to that, right, with these new rules? Do they, you know, just play them a little while and still get them the rest they need? Because I think there is some value to the rest, right? You know, I know, you know, the fans, you know, are going to disagree with it, but when you look at the analytics of it all, and you saw what happened with Denver, they rested the players, they got hot, they went on a run, right? I think there's some value to that. You know, you saw the Spurs do it for a lot of years as well. So how are these teams are going to work around that and still able to, you know, be healthy and make that run in the playoffs?
Well, to your point, Gary, I think it's probably talked about the disease of more. It's not even disease of more, it's disease of me. Of when you start to get success and you're not used to having success and you win a championship and everybody wants to talk to you and get your time and say, hey, let's go get these ads and do this, that, and that. How does that prepare, take away from your preparation for the game, right? Are you watching as much film? Are you going out there and get as much jumpers up? Are you working on your handles, right? Because everybody wants to talk to you. You're doing all these other things that are outside of the game because you just won the championship. They're like, oh, you guys brought everybody back. Y'all can repeat. Y'all could be the next dynasty. How does that affect, not necessarily Jokic. I think Jokic is just a different kind of dude. Like, he's like, I want
to
play basketball.
I don't think it's going
to
affect Jokic.
Yeah, No. That's what I'm saying. I don't believe it affects Jokic. But Jokic is not the only person that helps him get to a title. You got two through, and a piece of you doesn't feel like it's necessarily Murray, but Michael Porter Jr., all the rest of the cast that's behind them. How does that affect them having to deal with that, hey, can I get your time? Can I get an interview? Can you sign this for me? Can you do this and that? And it takes away from you being in the lab about, you know, working on your game, working on the film. To me, that's really the issue that Denver has to deal with people who not come from other places where they want. They've gotten to Denver and won together. And that's cool. That's great. You have the camaraderie. But do you have that bet in the locker room that says, hey, man, y'all shut up. Stop this shit. You doing this and this? This is how we don't get back where we need to be. And everybody's all going through it together at the same time, trying to figure it out. I worry about that for them. It's really the only thing because they're crazy talented. Like, not just off what happened yesterday. They're crazy talented. They showed you what they can do. They brought it back. They have the right dudes, I think, in Jokic and Murray at the top of the, you know, checking board, the one and two of leading that group. But how do you navigate that defense of a title with a whole bunch of dudes that have never been through it and don't have a vet in the locker room to show them how to do it? To me, that's the one thing I think that can derail them, but not talent-wise. They're crazy talented. Crazy talented.
Mm-hmm. I got two things. I watched the game. It was pretty interesting because they were talking, even the commentators were, like, talking about the fact that they did kind of – the Lakers did come back, right? And they were saying, hey, they're going to try to, like, be physical with Jokic and with, you know, Murray. And that kind of helped out. They were kind of able to kind of stick around, too. But, again, they were able to kind of extend the lead because of the bench, right? So, again, like you said, they're deep. They all are hungry. So, Denver's the team to beat, for sure. And that's what we talked about. You said it earlier. I don't know if it was you, Robert, said about the chemistry, right? The chemistry of the Nuggets is very impressive to that, too, because, like you said, they know, like, hey, we're the champs, and we know what we're going to get everyone's best shot. Great coaching. I mean, so they're prepared for that, too. And the second thing,
it's not,
how the hell – go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead.
No,
go
ahead. I'm sorry. No. At the beginning of the season, coming off of that championship, I think it's a little easier. When adversity hits and you have a couple of things and injuries and whatnot, and people go, and those bitch dudes feel like it's hot, and they feel like, damn, I should get more minutes. I've been hot for the past week and a half, but he only playing him because he played last year in the title run. Like, if those things happen, how do you navigate that within your locker room and that chemistry?
Like you said, Gary said, yeah. Like Gary said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the only thing that can really disrupt them right now because they're rolling, man. It's tough. They're going to be tough out, for sure.
And Murray's talking about his offseason, how he was even more prepared. He was taking mixed martial arts and everything he was doing. You're like, man, this dude, they're ready, man. So I was like, okay, it's going to be interesting, you know, to see them kind of, get into the season. You know, they had a great matchup, too. And Lakers didn't play bad, man. It was just more or less like this. Denver, like, so they were just more talented.
AD played
chemistry,
bad.
They were able to kind of navigate that. AD did, but
still. Yeah, AD,
he
wasn't sleeping.
He's still
the
trying to shoot jumpers and stuff like that. Yeah, that dude wasn't trying to do anything, man. That he didn't want no part of Jokic, man. That was.
I think Jokic got in his like, head.
Yeah, he didn't want no part of Jokic, man. I ain't going to get it. I was like, that was a sight to see. How the hell, though, were you talking about what
Jokic
pointed
in an eyeball last year in the finals. I think Anthony Davis still remember that.
He does.
That dude. This is for JQ, though. How the hell are we talking about the Michigan staffer that's flying across country? What the shit, man? Come on, man. Like, what the hell, man? That's
because if I introduce that as my last topic and everybody sees this on thing and says, like, oh, well, he's just a hater. He's talking about Michigan. He's doing times and this and that. So I can't be the one to bring it up.
Crazy.
You know, like, it's wild. Like, you can't put the tickets in your name. Like, you got to put it in your wife's name, your kid's name.
Like, come on, man.
You got to put it in somebody else's name. Like, you got to pretend to be Karen. Like, it's wild. But, again, at the same time, it's some Bill Belichick type stuff. But if you feel like Michigan's the only team doing stuff like that, I feel like the NCAA is already on Michigan because they were talking about the other pieces of it where they put the self-imposed and ban on it for the first 3-4 games this year. So he's in the crosshairs. So when you're in the crosshairs, they will look and find anything to find about you. But if you think other teams aren't doing the same thing, you're king yourself.
Yeah. Rumor has it that several schools are trying to cover it up right now. That's what the rumor is, that several schools right now are trying to cover it up.
Don't do stupid shit. Don't put it in your name, man. Put it under Greasy something. But Prime Sanders, Deion Sanders had a great comment to that, too. He's like, man, everyone's trying to – he's like, this is not new. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's still – he's like, you know, if you know what somebody's going to do. You have to stop it, right? That's the situation, too.
Yep.
Like, he's like, it's different in baseball because if somebody says a curve's coming, oh, I know. I'm about to sit on that curveball.
Yeah.
Different, like in baseball, but for football, you got to stop the play, man. You could say if you had a script, hey, this play's coming. Remember, like the Packers, they ran that counter tray like forever. Like you couldn't stop that shit. You knew it coming. Damn counter tray. You couldn't stop that shit.
No.
Like, hey, what you going to do?
Wow.
Just like I heard Marcus Spears today talking about, hey, when Clemson and LSU played against each other in the national championship game, you knew Burrow and Chase was going to run the fly pattern. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
they completed it 3 times for a touchdown.
Yep. It's like you know what's coming. How you gonna stop?
You knew
that,
it was coming.
That's demoralizing. That's even more demoralizing. You know it's coming. Like you still can't stop it. You're like, damn it, you're not gonna throw a fly. Yep, fly pattern. He can tell you, hey, I'm about to run a fly. It's like Randy Moss. You know, like, hey, I'm about to go past you. You're like, damn it, what you gonna do? You can't do nothing to stop it. Anyway, appreciate it. I thought all our listeners out there.
I want to make sure our listeners are not thinking that we condone cheating. We're not. We're just saying, hey, you know, does it make a difference in the outcome of the game? I don't think it does. And I think that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't help
Michigan
win the national championship. That's for sure.
Bill Belichick
right.
was like, man, hey, the balls are too heavy. Come on, man. Deflate gate, heat gate, there's so many gates they'd have been through, man. That's been nuts, man. They still figured out stuff, man. So, anyway, we digress. That's all I got, gentlemen. I know it's going to be a great, great weekend. Please be safe over the weekend. As Jake, you said, don't eat too much candy. I know I'm going to be DJing some gigs, so that's going to be fun. Wig parties, Halloween parties, you know, I don't even know what's happening. So, pray for me, man, because that's going to be crazy. That's going to be some craziness going down, man.
I got my girl. Wife is going to FAMU for the HBCU homecoming, so it's me and my daughters this weekend. So I'm chilling. good for you.
Oh,
good
man, you get to have a, you get to have a really good weekend, huh, man? Nothing but football.
Nice.
Nothing but football. Who wants to tell?
Nothing but football. Not but it.
Oh, man.
No.
Who's Ohio
What's
State
that?
Have this weekend?
Oh. We have Wisconsin at 7:30 on Saturday night. So,
ooh. In Columbus?
No, it's in Wisconsin. Camp Randall.
Yeah, it don't matter anyway. It don't matter where they're playing.
If we show up, we should win. You got to show up, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just put uniforms on and you win, man. Come on, man.
Stop it. I don't like that kind of talk. I'm
putting together more chandeliers this weekend.
I was going to ask you about that. Oh, here we
See?
Go.
Oh, check him out. Check out his work, y'all. No, that's my chandelier.
Yes!
I hate
Wait, I want to see that honey to do. I want to see that retired honey to do list.
That is
oh,
the
man.
Best.
I got to get a job. I got to get a job so I get some rest.
That's a true statement, probably, for Arnetta. I was going to say, are you still doing pickleball, Gary, or no? You're not doing any pickleball anymore, or no?
Well, you know, I haven't had time, but we've scouted out and found some courts. So, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to play some pickleball.
Nice.
Nice stuff. All right, good stuff.
Right
man.
Now, it's too hot. It's like it was like 86 or something. That's a little too hot for me to be out there playing pickleball. I'll wait till it cools down a little bit.
Yeah. It's still summertime in Florida.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
40-some degrees in Atlanta in the morning.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
That's nuts, man. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. All right, gentlemen. Have a great rest of your evening, rest of your morning. We'll talk next week for sure, guys.
I went for a run in that weather this morning with my hoodie on and everything.
So you
got
the fight
on
watch.
Good night, gentlemen.
I can't. All right, good night. I can't with y'all.